Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
Never better. How about yourself?
I'm great. No
good.
Problems.
Good. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was busy, but good.
Yeah, and your little pilgrimage?
Yeah, I went to Branson.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a place.
Yeah, and?
I've noticed that I had been there before.
Yeah, but you went to the lake, I think.
And yeah, and I think I drove down to the strip, and okay. I think, because I recognized the Ripley's, believe it or not.
Okay.
But I hadn't gone to all of it.
I was thinking that when you went last time, you weren't totally aware that you were in, like, the heart of Branson. You just thought you were at the lake.
Right.
And you stayed at the lake. You stayed at a resort or whatever that time. So, yeah. So this time, you know you're in Branson.
Yeah.
Tonight, because you're right there at a baseball tournament right off the strip, right?
Yeah.
What's the strip? Old 76 or whatever it is. The main strip.
It.
And I hadn't seen this thing before, but...
The baseball park is cool. If you have kids who play baseball and they do tournaments and stuff, it is. You go in there. It's an old mall.
Yeah,
they put in like five fields. It's like, you know, they have a Fenway Park. They have a Wrigley Field. They have like...
They have Kauffman.
They have Kauffman and, you know...
And Bush.
Kauffman.
And,
they put up like the little crown vision thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
The little crown scoreboard. I mean,
everything's like just on a smaller scale.
Yeah. And then for Bush, they've got an arch in the
outfield
like.
With stadium seating, like the, you know...
And they did, Fenway, right?
There's Fenway, they did
and
a Green
they got
Monster.
A little Green Monster.
Wrigley was like, when we first came in, you go in and you see it, and I'm like, because I was really excited about it, and my kid was super excited about it, and we go in, and you see Wrigley Field, and I'm like, oh, no. Because I will say, Wrigley, you know, the thing that they're selling with Wrigley is they put the vines out there, right?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, oh, cool. You know, they'll have vines in the outfield. It'll be awesome. And when you get there, they've taken, like, plastic vines.
Oh, like
and put them on
poison
fencing.
Ivy costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, and that's the first one I saw. I was like, and so my kid was like, oh, look how cool they got the vines. And I was like, yeah. But in my stomach, I was like, I paid way too much for this. You know what I mean? Like, if they just took regular baseball
ivy.
Fields and put fake ivy on it. not impressed.
Right.
You know, like you just feel like you got swindled, but you don't want to let your kid feel like that.
Right.
But then when we walked further down, I was like, oh, damn, they put in a Crown Vision. They put in a, you know, they had, you know, Busch Stadium done. Like, it looks like Busch Stadium.
The pictures look cool.
They did Fenway with a green monster, you know. It was cool. They did have another field. So Wrigley was fine. Like, it was cool. They did have the vines out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they put in some work for it. One they had as Brooklyn Stadium.
Yeah, I couldn't tell what that was in the pictures.
It's just a stadium. They just stuck like a sign there. It's yeah. like, I guess, if this was in Brooklyn, surrounded by high-rises, it would be really cool. But it's not.
Now, there's something about the dimensions of the diamond that they claim have been shrunken to scale.
They have. So, like, in certain ones, like, you know, like the right field wall is, like, you know, 100 feet shorter than the other one. So they did do it all right. It's cool.
In the pictures, it looked cool, and I thought, why? This is such a good idea. Why don't they do this for all Little League sports?
Yeah, I can't imagine how much money they put into it. I really can't. Like,
yeah, but there's so much money in Little League sports, you know?
Well, I thought about it, like, you know, how much did it cost and how many teams were there? And I got to imagine there were 40 teams there.
Okay.
You know, I did the math, and I got to imagine just on the tournament alone, not any food or pop or whatever else they sold, right?
Yeah.
None of that. But just to go there and play for those 40 teams, my math was at like $300,000. They probably brought in $300,000 that weekend.
For that one weekend.
Yeah. So, no, and they run them all weekend, every weekend. So there's other people coming. I don't know if they all have 40 teams. Probably some have less.
Like,
maybe
this
some
will be
have
going
more.
All summer, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Spring into summer. They start in March.
Yeah.
And go all the way through September, probably.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, as I really thought that number in my head when I, you know, worked it out on a calculator.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I thought it would be more. Just because I got to think the initial investment to build those turf stadiums is pretty expensive, man. I don't know what it is.
It looked
you
like
know,
they
I
used some existing infrastructure for the buildings and the
they
locker rooms.
So it's
like
an old mall.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, all that, like the locker rooms and all that stuff, you can tell were old stores.
Which look cool, by the way. The locker rooms
they were
did
cool.
a good job. They got their names up when they
came
in.
Man, he walked in and it was like his team logo was there and they had a locker with his name on it with a bag of stuff for him.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was like walking into a minor league stadium. It was cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
I mean, it will be. I wish I would have played that. It was one of those things you're like, man, I wish I could have done this when I was his age. And it's something he won't forget.
No, of course.
Right. It's cool.
It makes so much sense to do for Little League. It's just weird that, I mean, they do it in video games, right?
Yeah.
You get excited about which fake
right, yeah.
field or stadium you're going to play in. And once video games started doing that, when they first introduced the idea of, like, now we make it look like the actual stadium they play in. That was such a cool thing. Yeah, so why not do it on a scaled-down version in real life?
You would think.
And, I mean, okay, so you say it cost a fortune, but even if it cost them $5, $10 million, well, if they're making $300,000 in a weekend and they're doing it every weekend, all spring, summer, potentially fall, I don't know. I'll bet they
do
all right.
Fall.
Yeah, I'll bet they'll do all
right. And then, you know, probably,
right.
I'm guessing, who knows how long they've been doing it, but people have said they played in it years ago.
Yeah.
And played there. So, you know, once that initial investment, if you could get somebody to front you the money, well, I mean, once that's paid,
yeah.
Now you just, you know, I'm sure they bought the land, which right on the strip, that big a mall, could not have been cheap.
No.
And then to go put in all those things. But once you get that paid for,
yep.
Now you're just talking $300,000-$400,000 every weekend.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
And if am I understanding this correctly, the people who own this thing, they're not like affiliated with the Parks and Recs or any of that with the state.
It's all private.
It's all private, and they build this thing and say you should have your kids' Little League games here because it's cool, and it will cost you money if you want to come play here.
Yeah.
So it's just a business.
Yes, that's
and
it.
It's just a Little League business.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I obviously know nothing about it other than what you just told me today. And I guess, you know, a little bit before you left. But that sounds like a hell of a business.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, it sounds like if you were really into it, it could be fun. If you owned that.
Oh,
with
man,
a couple
when
of
I was
buddies,
looking at it, I was like, man, if I could buy a place like this somehow and just do this, just do baseball.
Right.
And have,
that's like
you know,
a dream.
Kids come out and play on these fields. How cool would that be?
Right.
And then I thought it's probably the initial investment, I can't imagine what it was. It was probably a lot.
Yeah, but I'll bet the government will give you some sort of first-time business loan, whatever. I don't
you
know.
You
got to
get some
much,
sort of angel investor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you that's need. There's somebody to be like, hey, we're going to build this.
Elon Musk, someone. Hey, right. We're going to build this. It's good for the kids, whatever. Boom.
Right.
It'll make money. And as it's going, you can sit there and think, what's
and
the next
I bet if you put it,
build?
You know, somewhere, I don't know where, but I bet if you put it somewhere, I mean, Branson's cool because people want to go there. They can do the go-karts and everything else, you
yeah,
know, when they're
the
not playing.
Of the state, kind of.
But if you put it, you know, in Kansas City somewhere,
yeah,
I bet you get more teams to come.
Yeah, I wondered. I figured maybe they did it there because they figure, okay, we'll get everyone from Missouri.
And it'll be a vacation.
Kind of in the middle, exactly. Right. And people will say, well, it's worth the drive.
I know
do other
my
stuff.
Kid played teams from Arkansas. They were there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anywhere.
Yeah. And St. Louis. And yeah.
Yeah. And so those are the stadiums you build, obviously. And yep. then as you make money, because I assume you start making money, you go, all right, when we expand, what's the next stadium we're going to do?
Exactly.
Or what could we do to the existing stadium to make it
even
more
cooler.
Like the right. real stadium? Because how cool would that be if they had miniature football stadiums
right.
for Little League?
Yeah.
And I understand that the school's not going to build one of those, that the government's not going to pay
yeah,
for
but you
one
make
those.
Money,
but
don't
a
it?
Private person could build one of those and then say, this mm-hmm. is where, because like in Texas, where high school football is king, why not instead of saying you're going to play at this place for these regional things, why not have for just for little leagues? I understand that high school is going to be at the
right.
Superdome or whatever, but for those little league games, when yeah. they have their state championships, you'd be like, you're going to come play at the miniature Cowboys
How cool
stadium.
Would that, be?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And I would think people would pay to do it.
Right.
I assume it costs a decent amount of money to, as compared to like a Parks and Rec or whatever, this costs decent money to get these teams to come out there and play.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it was, I mean, I'll try to be as accurate as I can. I think for Chacho to go, there was like $500.
Okay. So
$525, something I had to pay, you know, and I paid it in two, like they tell you early on,
you
we're
going to
go here. And then I just did installments, like I think three installments and then he was good.
But it's his team that he's played with.
They all travel to Branson.
And so, you know, if someone doesn't want to go or they can't afford to go,
oh, yeah, they
don't
go.
But it is his team, and it comes up as the team says, like, hey, we've got this thing that we're going to do in Branson.
I think his coach is really cool, and they voted on it.
Okay.
So he went to the parents and said, hey, this is what the cost would be. It would be this weekend. You know, do you guys want to do this?
Okay.
You know, and then that was it.
So then,
and then if enough parents said yes, then he booked it.
Afterwards.
After you agreed to do it.
No, I mean after the games were done.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go enjoy the sights and sounds?
It's crazy. So we went go-karting one day.
Okay, that's a start.
After
did you
games.
Have fun?
I didn't go-kart. I let him do it with his buddies.
Okay.
But I watched it. It was fun. And then
Did he ask to go again? Was he like, that was fun. Can we do it again?
No. So that...
Damn.
No, I'm just going to tell you. So that Sunday, they lost a game.
Mm-hmm.
So they were done.
Okay.
So, you know, I think they played four games. They're out of the tournament. And it's like 10:30 in the morning, right? Because our first game is like at 8 a.m.
Jesus, okay.
So I'm like, hey, man, you know, we're done. We got the rest of the day. Let's just, you know, let's go check out Branson. Right, we'll go to the amusement park. We'll go go-karting. We'll eat at buffets. Go swimming. Whatever you want to do, man. Let's just go have fun. You don't have school tomorrow? Not a big deal. Well, hell, we can even stay the night.
Yeah.
You know, we can go stay at that indoor water park if you want to go do that. And he was like, what time is it? And I go, well, it's, you know, 10:30, 10:45. And he goes, when does my football team play? And I go, at 3 o'clock.
Here?
In Kansas City. And he goes, how long does it take to get there? I'm like, do you want to go play football? Like, you've played five baseball games in 30 hours. And he goes, can we get there in time? And I go, yeah, we can get there, man. So we drove all the way back here, and he went and played football at 3.
And he played football. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I guess that's a good sign for
man,
him.
I like sports,
He's
I guess.
He's got something that I did. Yeah, I mean, he really likes sports. And
the game started at 3 o'clock, and we got there at 2:40. We
man.
Jumped out of the car.
I mean, like
ran
his
over
age,
to his team. One of the coaches brought the jersey for him, threw it on. Went on the field and played football.
I guess nothing seems exciting.
But he did say he was
here,
like, he was like, you know, we'll get there. He's like, my legs are going to be sore. I'm like, yeah, man, you played a lot of baseball games. He's like, no, from sitting in this goddamn car for 4 hours.
Like,
I'm like, no, you make
drive.
A good point.
Got to do stretches in the back seat. I mean, at that age, I don't know. I was a little younger when I first started going there. But still, by his age, I think I liked being there. I mean, I liked the idea of going shopping and amusement parks.
But then I said, you know, hey, he did say, can we come back with my older brother, us three, when I don't have sports going on, and just check it out. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I was worried that you were going to come back and say that, you know, it was the worst place
in the world.
No,
he wanted to go back. It was cool.
Okay, see, there's stuff to do there. You should have been taking the kids down there for weekend getaways in the past, right?
I didn't know.
There's stuff to do there.
Yeah.
You thought I was, I don't know, setting you up.
It looks like it could be fun.
Yeah, it's cheap to stay down there, plenty of places, and then there's tons of stuff for kids to do. Now, as an adult, I mean, they call it the entertainment capital of the state or whatever, but as an adult, or at least as adults such as ourselves, I don't know exactly what we would do. I'm sure Ripley's Believe It or Not might be okay, but I don't see any of us being into, like, the Titanic. We're not into musical theater, right?
Right.
I mean, you talked about going to a dinner and a show, whatever that thing's called, the Dinner Playhouse, a couple years ago. But that's just not something that we're into. And the rest of it's country music, which is definitely not something we're into. So you go down there and see these country artists, some sort of stampede.
Yeah, there was actually something called Stampede.
Jubilee Stampede or something.
Dolly Parton Stampede.
Oh, Dolly Parton has her thing down there, and... there used to be Yakov Smirnoff. Now,
there
as a kid,
still
that's
is. I saw it.
But he's not still there, is he?
I don't know. Just Yakov.
Oh. Well, maybe he's still there. Well, then that would be something.
I don't know if he's alive, but there's a big Yakov sign.
I thought he was dead or retired or something. But, yeah, I don't know exactly what you would do there as an adult. But it doesn't matter because you got kids, so you can live vicariously through them.
Yeah, it looked like fun.
And you can still go to the amusement park, which is always something, and find out once and for all that it's not a Jesus park.
There's a lot of Jesus stuff there.
In the city, yes, it is a very
in Branson,
Christian.
Too.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It is a very
but
Christian
city. But in the hotels,
city.
It's like, you know, it says, hey, stay with us.
Bible
the Lord loves you.
Yeah, it's
like,
very
okay.
Bible belty, for sure.
Right.
But I'm saying that when you go to the amusement park, you don't have to, like, you know, memorize a Bible verse to get on a roller coaster. It's not all Jesus themed.
Right.
It's old minor town themed or whatever. It's 19th century. What? You're nodding.
I thought
like,
it was very Jesus-y in there, isn't it?
I think at Christmas time it is.
It's very Jesus-y.
When did you go?
I went down there not too long ago.
For Christmas?
Year?
For Christmas?
No.
And it was very Jesus-y at the park. Well, then something's changed. When I was there, there was
Branson
no Jesus.
In general, sorry.
Well, Branson, yes. In general, it is very... There's a big cross as you come into town off the highway, and there's a lot of, like you said, bumper stickers
a lot of
for
Trump
sale.
Voters.
And Yeah.
Well, there's a big Trump store down there.
There's the Trump store in Branson now, yeah. So, yes, it is Bible belty. But this idea that Silver Dollar City is somehow a Jesus theme park, I'm not buying it. It's been a long time since I've been, but I think it's supposed to be, you know, old-timey, whatever you call that, 19th century.
Right, sure. I've heard that it's Jesus-y in there.
Well, you had one friend go, and he said he got a Jesus-y vibe. I think he might have been talking about the city, and ever since then, you've thought that Silver Dollar City is a
but
Jesus
I mean,
theme park.
I, you know, like, I enjoyed Jesus it. I would go on the go-karts, you know, that kind of stuff. It looked fun.
Go-karts are great. I don't know what kid doesn't love go-karts.
Yeah.
He didn't love the go-karts?
We said they were fun.
Man, it is so hard to impress kids now. I mean, obviously, it's TikTok. I don't know what else it could possibly be. But, I mean, imagine being a kid and being in a place like that. First of all, you know, even at his age, he's a little bit older now, but still, I was, I think, fairly apolitical at that age. I wasn't overly concerned with the political stuff that I saw on cars or billboards or whatever. I didn't know too terribly much about it, so I wasn't going to let that ruin a good time. And I definitely was excited about things like go-karts and bungee cords and or rip cords and even outlet malls, shopping, all
that
stuff.
I don't think he didn't like it. He just wanted to play football.
Yeah. He just wanted to come home and play more sports.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right, so tell me about Nick's wedding.
Yeah, so the wedding. So, you know, he had been texting us. Like, we knew that it was happening, and he had texted us. And you probably recall getting that group text where he said some of the invitations didn't get sent out.
Well, I didn't get that because I was supposed to stand up in it.
Well, he had said something about, originally he had said something about us being in the wedding.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, will you guys be in the wedding? And we were like, sure. And then the next thing I know, he sent the, you know, he was asking for everyone's addresses and everything on those group texts.
Yeah, I got a text with, like, I don't know who stuff is when, but I got a text with, like, Parkins and that Mark Carmen guy who used to work here.
He was there. I saw him when
son.
I walked him.
And it was like, you
Nick's
know.
Nick's son. Yeah,
yeah it was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, will you guys be in my wedding?
Oh, okay. So
and then I texted him and said no.
You already knew that you'd be out of town by then?
I did.
Oh, okay. I thought that you didn't realize that you were going to be out of town until closer to the actual.
I think like
wedding.
A week later, I looked at my schedule. I was like, dude, I can't do it.
Okay, gotcha. So I don't really open my mail. Mm-hmm. So because
I did
said,
get an invitation too.
Because
though,
he
it.
Said,
I'll give you it if you want to keep it.
Well, I'm sure I have it, it in a pile, but I was like, why look for it when he said that some of them didn't right. even get sent out? So I had done, but I'd RSVP'd. I'd done all that because he sent it all digitally to like do all that stuff. So I didn't feel like I was, you know, it's not like I was asking like, hey, can I come to your wedding? I didn't right. feel like that at all. So I just didn't know who was going to be there. I mean, I had some idea of some of the people. I figured the guys from his show would be there.
Right.
I know his wife, and I know that I know some of her. Right. I know her sister, at least, and I know that some of her family would probably be there. But other than that, I'm like, I don't know what to expect. I don't know how big this is going to be. And I didn't. I did not know where it was until right before. I think I waited until like a day before right. to confirm where it was, the time, and all that. So when I heard where it was going to be, I was like, this could be a massive thing. We could be the poorest people in there. I don't know how this is going to go, but we need to make sure that we look good. You know,
well,
we
you
don't
present
show, yeah, that we present
manner.
Ourselves well and all that stuff. Don't just sure. be putting on khakis and a you know short sleeve polo or something. So it was quite stressful because we'd been out of town in Colorado and had to get back and try and get all the stuff
right.
done in time. We thought we'd have plenty of time, and boy, just barely. We got all of our stuff, and we were in the car. Like I got dressed. The wedding started at 4:00. I finally put on my clothes. My pants had just been fitted and all that stuff. I just picked them up. And we were in the car, and it's like 3:45. And I was like, well, we're late. So we'll probably miss the actual, yeah, you know,
right,
like walk
right.
in as the ceremony's going on. So we'll stand back until that's over, and then we'll move in once they
sure.
do the other stuff. Because my understanding was it was all in one place. So we get there, and I saw Mark first, actually, when we walked in. He
okay.
was standing, like, just outside in the hallway. And I was like, oh, hey. Because it's like 4:05, and I was like, well, what time's wedding? He's like, what? I don't know. What time is the wedding? And I said, well, I thought it was at 4:00. And he goes, oh, damn, I told my girlfriend it was at 4:30. She's going to be pissed at me. And I was like, well, I don't know. Someone told me 4:00 or so. And he goes, oh, no, you're probably right. And then I saw a Carrington and I saw some other people.
Okay.
And they're like, no, it's 4:00, but just it hadn't started.
Right,
so
sure.
I think they probably, knowing all of us, said,
give people a little bit
we'll give you some extra time. So we managed to get in there. When we went in there to sit down, I was surprised. It was a pretty small, like, ceremony.
Okay.
And that's when it started to, I started to have this feeling of like a little bit of imposter syndrome. Almost.
You were looking
like,
for me to hang out with you?
Well, that I was looking for beforehand. Like, you know, who are we going to talk to at this
right.
thing? But I had this sense of like, should I be here? Is this a family thing? Because this seems pretty intimate. And I know that a lot of these people I recognize as family members. So, like I saw, his sister was there.
Sure.
His mom. So, you know, you just kind of think like, should I be here? But I'd RSVP'd. He invited, so
I think I really missed a boat. I could have been with his mom.
That was
mom.
Your opportunity.
Well, I know.
Yeah, and his sister as well.
We've
I
talked
don't think,
a little bit.
I don't think I'd ever met his sister. Oh, yeah, maybe I'd met her once. But anyway, I didn't remember. So we get there in time for the ceremony. Ceremony's great. Then they move it, you know, it's like it's partitioned the area into three sections. So you got the area for the wedding. Then they move you back behind a curtain, and now you're in kind of the after ceremony area where you're having drinks and finger
oh,
foods.
I see. And then
and
the
they're
full
waiting
on
for the full on reception, which will happen when the I'm sure they're taking photos
sure.
and all that stuff. So when they're done, then we'll all move back. So during that time, I really just we talked to Parkins and his wife because we know them. And honestly, Brooke and I found a table and just sat down at this table alone and Parkins and his over and you know asked if they could chat with us, so we
sure.
talked to them the whole whatever you call that intermediate part of
okay.
the wedding, and then finally they say okay it's time for dinner, and this is when I knew because Nick had texted me you know a few weeks ago a month ago whatever when he was putting together seating charts for the wedding, and he said that he was gonna sit me next to Mangini, and
oh nice,
so I knew that that's who I would be sitting
he
next
wouldn't
to
have sat me next to him.
Who? Because
we had Nick on one time. I said, you tell him I could coach
oh,
just
yeah,
as good as he
yeah,
can.
Yeah, that's right.
Guy you went talk, like 8:42 or something.
Who haven't you talked trash on at some point that this guy works with?
Because I'd have brought that up. Like, dude, come on, man.
Right.
You're like 8:40.
Of all the people
I could
that
be
are there,
8:40.
I don't think there's anyone there that we know that you haven't talked trash on that I can think of.
I like Mark Harmon.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone
and
likes
Danny.
Him. Everyone likes him.
I get along with Danny. I mean, I've talked
well,
mad
you've
trash
talked some
on
bad
him, but...
trash on him, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's definitely
right, okay.
been, you know, check that box. Have you ever talked trash on this guy publicly?
I don't
yes.
think I've ever talked trash on Mark Carmen. How about that?
No, I don't think I don't think you probably have. I don't think I have. He's just a, man, he's a good guy. Everyone
mm-hmm.
likes that guy. So I knew going into this, like, I'm going to be sitting next to him. That's all I knew. Who else would be around us? No idea. I just knew that Coach Mangini would be seated directly next to me.
So were you nervous to talk to Coach Mangini?
I've been nervous for a couple of days. Like, what am I supposed to talk to this guy about?
You know, not football. You didn't know anything
exactly,
about it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm not a sports guy. So I can't be like, you know.
Not you don't know anything about it. He doesn't know anything about it.
Oh, well, I don't know anything about it. So I don't need to be asking detailed information that he might like, you know,
I'm
kind of conversation
kidding,
that he
way.
Would have with people that he works with. But you also can't be the guy that's like, so, what's it like being the youngest coach in NFL history at the time?
Right.
You know, what was it like coaching the Jets?
True?
What was it like? I think when I read about
him.
Oh, yeah. As soon as he said he's sitting next to me, I was like, all the details I can find about Mangini. I think when he got the Jets job, he was at the time the youngest. I think he was like 37 or something like that. But anyway, those are things that obviously, straight from Wikipedia, straight from a basic bio that you find online, you can't ask that. And you also can't ask, like, I'm sure he gets sick. Literally six, probably at points, of being asked about football. You know, like this is what he does for a job. It's he talks it on TV. He worked it as a coach, and you meet someone new, and automatically they just want to talk about football, which I get because they know more about you presumably than he's going to know.
Of course.
So you know, I get it, but like, what could I talk about?
They probably all. To be fair, though, I mean, it was Nick's wedding.
Right. It's their
so it's not like it was somebody's wedding that isn't in. So they're probably like, we're just going to be a lot of sports talk here.
Exactly. Well, but that's part of the problem,
sports,
too,
right.
is that he's probably going to be talking sports with other people.
I think you'd be more annoyed about it if he was at somebody else's wedding.
Well, yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
like, you could
that.
Tell John Bon Jovi was annoyed when they were like, come and sing Bon Jovi. He's like,
it's totally
come on,
rude.
Man.
Totally
but
rude.
If he was at, you know, I don't know, who, you know, some dude from Poison's wedding, you'd probably be like, oh, there's going to be a lot of music talk here. And,
right.
It would be a different vibe.
No, I'm sure he talked sports with Brew and those other guys at points throughout the night. But that's the other thing. Like, I don't need to try and also give my thoughts on anything because I don't really have any, you know. So I thought, well, but the only thing I know about him is that it's all sports related. That he was a coach and that he talks sports on TV. I mean, I don't know anything else about the guy. I knew his wife's name. I found that online, but I mean, I really didn't know anything about him. So I thought, oh, you know what?
What's she look like?
She's blonde. One of the nicest people. She could not have been a nicer person. She was great.
Okay,
just great. I don't know how long they've been married, but I did before the wedding because I'd looked into it, but I don't recall now. But super, super, super nice. And you know, Brooke is very nervous. She gets worse social anxiety than I do, and especially because you know, I think I don't know anybody in this place. She really feels like she doesn't know anybody. Not to mention, there is always that feeling of, hey, we're going to be around a lot of wealthy people, and you know, I don't know what kind of conversations wealthy people have when they're alone, but maybe they like to have different kinds of conversations than they like to have. You know, I don't know.
Her dad's wealthy.
Huh?
Her dad's wealthy.
Brooke's dad?
Yeah.
I'm talking like millionaire wealthy.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of money.
He does well, yeah. But, you know,
same conversation.
Yeah, same conversation.
I'm being honest.
I mean, I think
it wasn't any different.
I think coaching in the NFL probably is
I think the sports talk would be a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know that there's other people there. I know they're not all millionaires, but I know that some of them are, and I know that I am seated next to a former NFL head coach and, you know, guy on TV.
Yeah.
Just anyway, I decided, okay, I'm not going to ask him what he thinks of Dune, right? Even though that's a popular thing. I don't know if the guy likes
that'd
sci-fi. Right, that would be really weird. So I thought, oh, I could ask him a sports-ish question. I could ask him about that Patriots documentary, because it's everywhere, and I'm sure people have asked him about it. I'm sure it's come up, right? A lot of people had different opinions as they leave that documentary. If you haven't seen the series, going into it, you may have certain opinions, especially if you're not a Boston fan, which I was not. You might have certain opinions about people like Brady and Robert Kraft and all those people. And
the dynasty?
Yeah, why not? I thought, you
because
know,
they portrayed him as Judas.
You say they portrayed him as Judas. I mean, Belichick is the guy who comes off looking like the bad guy in that.
But they also said like
Dan Hernandez, obviously.
Well, they said Mangini was like his best friend, worked for him, and then went to another team and then told on him for stuff that he was doing with him to get him in trouble.
I understand.
That's the definition of Judas.
Except that in the end, Belichick was not portrayed as Jesus in any way, shape, or form.
Right, but
people left that documentary thinking Belichick sucks, and so you think like it's probably okay.
And worked with him and then told on him.
Yeah, but
for stuff that he did.
Right, but so he must not like the guy either, right? Or,
well, he told on him.
Right. I mean, look, I didn't make the documentary, and I'm sure people
seems like
have
an
asked
odd thing
him about
to bring
it.
Up.
Oh, come on. An odd thing to bring up. It's a sports thing. He's obviously worked for the team.
The only thing I think was odd to bring up is that they did that documentary was not favorable to him.
Oh, it was, you know, it wasn't favorable to their friendship. That's fine. But it's no one left that documentary having that being one of the top 10 takeaways that they talk about is Mangini.
Absolutely. I texted Nick after I watched it. It was like,
right, because you know him. Because you know
right,
he's on
said
the
to
show.
Mangini, see that? Like, they made it sound like he was a tattletale.
Right, because you know that Nick knows him. But so anyway, well, I don't know. You see, if you'd been there, you could have said, don't ask about that. But I said, you know, he had introduced himself and had gotten kind of quiet. And he's doing the kind of like, well, you know, so. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to ask. I said, so.
Did you see the
what's it like? What's it like telling on your friends? You know,
right, yeah.
And
what's
you know,
it like being a rat?
Do you have any actual friends? No,
right.
I said.
It was the reason why you haven't gotten a job because people don't trust you because you're a rat.
I said so.
You think with a name like Mangini, you'd know not to rat.
I said so. What did you think of the Patriots documentary? Because I thought he might even say, you know, like, well, you know, I thought it made me look better. I wish they would have asked me, you know, to give my side or whatever.
That's how if I was with you, we would have been back because I would have been like, sat me next to a rat. Rat.
That's why I'm sure if you had been coming, he would have kept you two.
That's not
separate.
True. He seems like a very nice guy.
He is extremely nice.
So that's
within minutes.
I feel comfortable saying that because he seems like a really nice
within
guy.
Minutes of us sitting down and talking to him, Brooke looked at me, and I mean, and she'd been mortified about this whole thing, and she looked at me and she was like, wow, these people are incredibly easy to talk to.
Right.
They're just normal people. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, they are normal people. Like, people are generally speaking normal people, but it was also just because they were
nice, yeah.
Nice without being that syrupy, like, oh, hi. You know,
right,
that kind of dismissive, almost
seems
like you're probably
a regular guy.
You're probably
plus,
excited
he's a football
to be
coach. Like, even though
right.
You say, I don't know how much he's worth, but I'm sure it's a lot. But still, I'm sure he didn't come from that. He worked his way up. He
right.
Understands it.
Right.
Like, he's not, it's not like you're sitting next to the Rothschilds and the Trumps.
No, exactly.
It's
he's
like,
not
even
a
if he does have a lot of, and even if he does have $1 billion, I don't know. He certainly worked his way through it.
Right. It's not a trust fund billionaire
yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. Yes, those people would be harder to relate to. But I asked him about the documentary, and he said he hadn't seen it, but he started asking me all these questions about it. He said that they
that
asked
make me look like a rat?
Well, I, you know, he didn't bring that up, but he said they asked me to be in it and I declined. That's what he said. I think
well,
it was
I
hard
would
to
do
hear him
after they
hard to hear him.
The way they were bringing that up.
He said, you know, he's just done so many things talking about that over and over and over and blah blah blah. And he's just like, you know, I just felt like I didn't know this thing was going to come up. He's like, but then it comes out and it sounds like they actually did a good job with it and people liked it. He's like, so I'm curious. As someone who watched it, you know, and I assume you're not a New England fan. I'm like, not a New England fan. Brady broke my heart many times. Like, so I'm curious what your takeaway thoughts were. So he's going through the list. You're like, what did I think of Robert Kraft? What did I think of Belichick? What did I think of Brady? What did I think of all these different things? And then he's kind of telling me, I give him my answer, and he's kind of telling me if I'm right. And he even went into detail talking about what Belichick is like, which I thought
oh,
was
really?
Cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, working with him and what he's like behind the scenes and all that stuff. And, I was like, wow, this is a little bit surreal. You know, I'm having this conversation
sure.
with him about.
So were you right on most of the things, your takeaways? From
yeah,
it?
According to him, like, you know, Robert Kraft is you know, the nice grandpa guy who really
right.
does care about people, that his son is the guy who is going to be the assertive one who's ready to take over the business and be
right.
a little bit more. And I told him, you know, the thing from that documentary that I thought was good was that the son, at least he's saying all those things on camera. He's cussing on camera. So if you told me that he, you know, was a sweetheart on camera and then behind the scenes he's cussing people
right.
out, that'd be different. But it seemed like he was letting you know.
Right.
My dad's a nice guy. I'm the one who says, after that, you got to call this guy,
right.
whatever. So, yeah, I thought that was a good thing and a good opening or whatever. And then he was asking about Nick and radio and you know, how long we've been doing the show and, you know, how we met Nick and all of that stuff. And
that's how we made Nick dip his balls in hot
coffee?
I didn't
tell him that part. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell him that part. I told him that, you know,
did you tell him that he didn't know anything who UL Washington was?
I didn't tell him that either. No. I wasn't,
okay.
You know, it's Nick's wedding and I thought, you know, certain things you don't do here. Like,
I bet you Nick is happy I didn't go.
Don't ask for selfies. Don't give.
Because I'd have been, I can't imagine.
Yeah, don't do that at his wedding, you know.
Well, your, I would have asked for
it's a safe
like,
space.
Hey,
it's a safe
let me
space.
Let me tell you. Yeah. He has no idea who Yale Washington is.
Nick doesn't want to come home from his wedding and then find out that his coworkers had this new dirt on him. You know what I
right.
mean? I was like, yeah. So Yeah, we ended up to, his wife was extremely, like I said, extremely nice, and ended, we talked. She talked to us all night, and you know, then Nick gave the the family does the speeches, which was very touching and all that. The kids talk, and everyone right. talks, and then Nick was the last one to talk. And I will say it was unintentional, but it did come off a little bit like a shot at me. Nick talked about me in his speech.
No, he did.
Yeah, and he was talking about how much his wife has helped him, you know, and how he wouldn't be who he is and wouldn't be where he is if not for his wife, and that when he met his wife, he was hanging out with me, and that I can attest to this. That, you know, we used to go to the casinos and he would be broke and borrow money and owe people money and, you know, didn't have a very nice place to live. Those types of things. Like, that was his life as we're chasing his future wife around. You know, that's where he was at, hanging out with me, living on the margins. You know, he looked at me like, you know, because he knew that I knew he was going to say living on the margins thing. And then talks about how, you know, then he met her and...
Everything
got better. And I looked at Mangini and I was like, you know, I know he didn't mean it, but it did kind of sound like he was saying, let me tell you, it was so bad I was hanging out with him back then, and then I met her, and luckily she got me out of that lifestyle. He's still here, by the way. Didn't have to drive far to get to the wedding.
What did Mangini say?
He was laughing. He's like, yeah, I don't think that's what he meant, but that's pretty funny. So, but no, it was nice, and you know, it is one of those weird things, too, though. I wanted to meet Wilds. I hoped I'd get an opportunity. Sure. Every time he walked by me by himself, Mangini was talking to us, so... you know, okay, not the right time. And then when we got up a couple times, Wilds was in conversations with people. I just didn't want to be the guy who interrupts and says, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I, you know, you don't want to be like a fan at a wedding.
Right.
So, and that's another thing, too. Like, normally at weddings, you'd be taking a lot of pictures, but I felt weird about even taking pictures. I was like, yeah, wait, take pictures of ourselves, but I'm worried about people in the backgrounds because, you know, some of these people are celebrities. And you know who else was there?
Who?
The guy that I like, the guy that I didn't know that Nick was friends with, the guy that, remember us having a conversation, oh, I don't know how long ago, about that BS High School, whatever that documentary was called. Do you remember that? What was that? You watched that, didn't you, Snow Cone, the one about the fake high school football team? I think it was called BS High. And yeah. I was telling you that day, I was like, man, Bomani Jones.
Yeah, I had Thanksgiving dinner with him one time.
Yeah, well, I haven't met him.
He's a nice guy.
And I wanted to meet him, too, but... You know, there's a couple things with that. One is you don't just want to go interrupt. Also, I was pretty sure it was him, but I'm not totally 100% positive.
Oh,
so
right.
You, because I've never met him before. You don't want to misidentify a black guy as a white guy at a most, you know, or at least a 50-50 black wedding. It's just a bad look, you know, in general. Like, hey, aren't you Bomani Jones? No.
No.
Oh.
I'm Broussard.
Right. Like,
oh,
exactly.
Damn. Well, whatever.
Exactly. I did meet him. You know what's interesting about him? I don't know.
I think he's real religious.
That's what you told me.
Well, the only reason why I know that is because...
What I told Brooke.
He does a show with a guy that I used to work with in Detroit, Rob Parker.
Yeah. Oh, that's the guy that he does the YouTube videos with?
The Odd Couple.
Mm-hmm.
And they start that show with one of them spends their Sundays throwing dollar bills at the strip club. The other one throws it into the
coffers at church.
Right.
Okay.
And... I know Rob, and he's the one who throws it at the strippers. So I'm like, it was easy for, like, they're like, which one is which? And I'm like, well, I know which one is the throw it at the stripper guy. That's Rob.
Yeah, you told me that, and I always got the impression that he seemed like a morally centered kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, he just comes off the way. So I expect him to be nice, and he was. But you know what's interesting? When you see him on TV, I mean, I could describe to you what he looks like.
By the way, my oldest son, if I would have brought him there, he can... We don't go 3 weeks without him bringing up Broussard and what he said live on TV.
Because he's taking shots at him?
Yeah, because remember what he said?
Well, which thing?
Well, the thing that...
The thing that made the rounds on social media because he... Yeah, and they were like, I don't think you should say that. Yeah, yeah.
My oldest brings it to me all the time.
Yeah.
They'll say something about his brother, too. Like, yeah, I always had to put him down.
Yeah. I shouldn't have... I'm glad I didn't think of that because I might have worked up the courage to be like, hey, do you know this is still going on pretty strong on the internet? But he came over and sat down to talk to Mangini, just sat with us. So I did introduce myself to him. You know what's weird? And you and I have talked about this before, but if you were to describe Broussard on TV, he's a, you know, light-skinned black guy. I don't know. Like, you just describe him, right? When you see him in person, you go, oh, that guy... looks like he should be on TV.
Right.
You know, you take that for granted because most people on TV look like they should be on TV. Yeah. So, you know, and you know, Nick looks good on TV.
Of course.
But there's certain people that you just see him. And I figure Wilds is probably that way. But yeah, when Broussard came over, I just looked around and I was like, man.
Good looking guy.
It just has a presence where you're like, you shouldn't stay. I don't know if you're from this part of the country, but if you are, head towards one of the coasts.
Right, yeah,
you know
get
what
out
I mean?
Of here, sure.
Yeah. So then that was that. And of course, we wanted to get out of there before it became like the real. I mean, we stayed late enough. The people were dancing and all that. But I figured the end of a wedding is for like family.
Sure.
And his kids came up and said hi to me, which was nice.
Good.
They said that they recognized me. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But yeah. And so then we went home. No problems. Unscathed. Nothing embarrassing. Other than, I guess, you would say I shouldn't have asked about the Patriots.
But it seemed to have went fine. So
I thought
fine.
It went well because he was asking me all these questions.
I don't think I would have brought it up. But the fact that you didn't, it went fine, tells me you were right.
I get what you're saying. But because Belichick came off as such a villain.
I think it's better off that he didn't see it.
Maybe
he would have seen me like, yeah, I watched it.
I figure someone's asked him about that by now.
Right.
Or like told him like, hey, you know, you're in this documentary. And
right.
He's got to know. But maybe he doesn't. I don't know. He asked me questions about it. And, you know, maybe part
Did
of why
he's
asking.
Did you learn any insight?
No.
Like, does he like Brady?
Yes. It seemed like he, because I was like, you know, Brady seems like a nice guy. He's a guy who's never a fan of his, whose heart was broken by him many times. If Brady wanted to hire a Hollywood production crew to make himself look good, I don't think any crew in Hollywood could have done a better job than those last two documentaries, the Brady documentary on ESPN and now this Dynasty documentary on Apple. And I said, so I don't know how accurate that is, but, and he was basically like confirming that, yeah, you know.
He's a nice guy.
He's like what you're seeing.
Right.
And, but he was defensive of Belichick too. So, you know, I don't want to violate his,
his trust.
Privacy at all, but yeah. So,
well, did he dislike anyone in the documentary?
No, I don't think he talked too much mad smack on anyone. Maybe a little bit on somebody, but I won't say who it was. I'll tell you, but
okay,
yeah. But no, nothing crazy. So,
did you say Aaron Hernandez was a nice guy?
We did not talk about Hernandez. We did not. I thought about opening up the conversation with that. You know, like, so did you know Hernandez killed a guy? but I decided not to. I decided to go with the broader, you know, just.
I think, yeah, just paint a bigger picture.
Yeah. So that was that.
Good.
And then I left. And, you know, there's no embarrassing stories to tell.
Good.
Except that you weren't there. But other than that.
You're good.
I think there were probably people there that felt less deserving to be there than myself. Once he mentioned me, even though
Did he say slim?
He called me sometimes. Yeah, once he mentioned me in his speech, then I thought, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
He pointed to me and pointed me out.
This is the life I left. I want you guys to take a little looky-loo over there.
Exactly. He's still here.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
All right, we're going to doom scroll in a minute.
We're going to doom scroll in a minute.
A lot of news out there?
Yeah. Trump's in court today. Big day, big day. Did you ever watch the Stormy Daniels documentary?
No.
Oh, okay. Did you still go?
I've seen it. Stormy.
No. Oh, okay.
I've seen it advertised to me.
Well, someone on Twitch, can you explain to me if you watched it? Didn't it seem like that documentary ended and they were saying like, well, that's the end. Nothing else to do with this now. It didn't go well for her. The end. And I thought when I watched that documentary, like, don't they still have stuff coming up? But the documentary acted like they didn't. Well, there is because they're doing jury selection now. Anyway, these missing Kansas moms. Did you know about this story? I mean, you were out of town this weekend and busy, so I'm sure you haven't been following the news.
They could be in Branson.
The young moms.
Are they?
They're not. No, they're not. No, they're no longer with us. And,
what?
Yeah.
Why? What happened to them?
Well, I'm going to tell you about it. And also, remember when OJ went to trial for murder? And
I'm not black. I'm OJ.
And they said he was not guilty. And then the family of what was his name? Perlman, right?
Yeah, Ron Perlman.
When his family took OJ.
Ron Perlman, Sons of Anarchy.
That's Sons of Anarchy. Right? Doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
It's a. What are their names?
Goldman.
Thank you.
Ron Perlman.
I was like, Hellboy. Yeah.
Ron Perlman, remember, he sued.
Ron Perlman?
No, he sued OJ. Goldman sued OJ in that civil trial and won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And OJ was ordered to pay a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Something like $30 million.
Right, they kept his Heisman trophy or something.
And,
I remember the story.
Yeah. Well, he apparently has not paid that money, but now that he's dead, you know, the family saying it's time to pay up. And also, I guess you can end up owing a lot more with fees, just like, you know, late credit card bill, I suppose. They're saying now it's more like $100 million.
Hmm.
So will OJ have to pay?
I'm sure OJ doesn't care.
That's my thought, but I'll bet his estate cares, right? because I don't know how much money he left behind.
I just felt like he probably didn't
have a ton left. That's what I'm thinking. Like, he didn't have any more. He's not making any more now, for sure. So whatever the estate got, I'm sure they're not all that excited to hand it over and just say, well, here you go. My dad didn't pay you. I don't. So I know that you feel the same way about these civil trials after you've had like a criminal trial.
I hate them.
It's really weird, and I have mixed feelings about this whole thing.
I hate him, and I know people say, well, but you had a criminal trial, and he was found not, and I know then they're like, well, that's reasonable doubt to difference between a preponderance of evidence. Well, too bad.
Right. I don't see it,
seems to me like, and I'm not, I know people get mad because it's the OJ thing, but take OJ out of it. There is no double jeopardy.
I'm with you.
But now it's double jeopardy for a criminal punishment.
And then civil.
Oh, we didn't get that. Well, let's take your money then.
Right.
Well, how does that work?
I don't feel
that's
like it was supposed
jeopardy.
To be set up that way.
No.
And in my mind,
but they changed it to be like, oh, well, it's not the same court.
Right. But if a civil court is only needs a preponderance of the evidence, 51%, then there's only certain things they should hear. It shouldn't just be the judgments, you know, whether it's money or debt. It should be what kind of cases are they allowed to hear. And if the criminal court already heard the case about whether or not he was responsible for their death, then the civil court shouldn't be allowed to hear that.
No,
same.
I agree.
I don't get that at all. But anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff coming up next when we doom scroll.
The Church of Laszlo. It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
All right, where are these missing ladies?
We're doom scrolling. Oh, okay, so you want to start with
I was
with
curious
the,
about it. You said moms, young moms went missing and now they've passed away?
Yeah, there were a couple of young Kansas mothers who were missing. And, you know, I watch a lot of true crime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's shocking how often I've seen stories like this. As a matter of fact, there was something new that was just put out. I can't remember if it was that Netflix thing or if it was the new one on Peacock, which is, I know, a stretch. People probably aren't watching that. But
what's the new one on Peacock?
I can't remember the name of it. Like family, something to do with family. Someone on Twitch will know. Family, yeah, it all has to do with bad families. But, you know, you have these like custody disputes and then a person goes missing or a person is killed and it later comes to light that the parent, I feel like it's almost always a mother, but no, sometimes I guess it's a father, but that the parent was killed by an in-law. So, you know,
So,
you got the grandma and her, let's just say, grandma's the matriarch of the family. She's tough as nails. That's always the story. And her son's got a kid with this woman and, you know, maybe they were together, maybe not, but they're not together anymore. And this grandma does not like this non-daughter-in-law, the mother of her grandchild, doesn't like her, doesn't think that she's a good mother, doesn't think she should be a mother. So she
I've never
gets
heard of this.
You've never heard that before?
No.
Oh, okay. There's a few of them, and it's just
I know they hate
totally
them, but
crazy.
I've never heard of killing.
It looks like that's what happened here, because these...
That a mother-in-law killed three women?
That a family, yeah, that an in-law killed... well, she got people. There's been several people that have been arrested now. I think there's five total have been charged. And it looks like this
is not
one
something
of those
I need to be worrying
bad
about.
Family things. I know. Well, I feel like it is
my
something you should be worried about.
My ex-in-laws
this morning, new developments in the search for Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. The two moms from Kansas have been missing for 2 weeks. Their car found abandoned just over the Kansas-Oklahoma border. Authorities saying in a statement there was evidence of foul play. Tag Cullum, Tiffany Adams, and Colin Cora Twombly were all booked on charges of first-degree murder, kidnapping, and conspiracy. Jesus. Adams is the grandmother of Veronica Butler's children, and that at least two of the suspects arrested were known to her. Court documents obtained by NBC News show Butler and the father of her children have been in an ongoing custody battle.
It's so crazy that that happens. Yeah. I understand that you take your kid's side.
I can't imagine killing them.
But, right, killing them is absurd. Also, the thing I don't get, just in a broader sense, is when you see parents of...
I mean, it just seems like it's so from one step away. Like, I'm not saying do this or anything, but it just seems like, you know, I could see the wife saying, kill my ex-husband.
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, I know
seen
it's...
That. We've seen it, yeah.
It's silly, but I understand it. Or the husband do,
right.
But the mother, like my mom wanting to kill my ex, I can't imagine.
Right. It's
I just can't imagine she even thinks about her that much.
Right. And also,
I think the only time she thinks about her is if I call and complain about something.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, I can't imagine it affects her daily life at all.
And that's the other thing, though. Well, I guess, okay, so then imagine that you're going through this really bad custody battle and you're not able to see your kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're only seeing your kid once a month or something on a weekend. And, you know, you think that you're telling your mom that you think that your baby's mama is hurting the kids or whatever.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
So
I mean, now you start, okay.
Right. And then imagine that your mom is one of these kind of rural matriarchs who... Everyone listens to every word she says. She's always in charge. We didn't have necessarily that.
We got to stop the matriarchy.
Well.
I need a shirt.
Yeah. I mean.
A flag or something to put on my.
I guess. Look, we don't know.
Put on my Subaru.
We don't know yet that she orchestrated this whole thing. But I'm just based on all the true crime I've seen, that's what this looks like. But the other thing that gets me is.
Toxic femininity at its best.
Exactly. When you see these parents who say.
Always shows up to them.
Ruin the party.
A marriage.
Ruin the marriage. Ruins the marriage. Always
toxic
shows up to ruin
femininity.
The marriage. You see these parents in the news where someone's in trouble and they'll say, so say that Laszlo and I are married, and Laszlo says, you know, we get divorced and we're in court, and Laszlo's like, yeah, well, Slim used to hit me. You know, he's verbally and physically abusive, right? And then you see my mom on TV going, my boy would not do that. I know him. He does not do that. Laszlo's a liar. When I see parents doing that, I'm thinking, oh, how would you know if your kid hits their partner? Now, you might know, but just because you don't know doesn't mean that they don't do it.
You probably got a decent idea what the kid's like, though. I'm not saying they wouldn't do it, but you're like, I raised this kid for a long time. I've never seen him strike out in anger before.
Sure, okay, but that doesn't mean that you know what they're like when they're alone with their partner.
No, I got it,
partner.
But you got an idea.
These people get so adamant about... I know my boy.
I would be
boy.
Shocked.
He's never hit a woman.
I would go on TV today. There's no doubt. If somebody said, Slim beats his girlfriend, I would go on TV and be like, that ain't him. That ain't him. I know him. If you want to say that he kicked a kitchen cabinet and hurt his toe, I'll say yes. If you want to say that he cheated on her with 17 other people at a Ruby Tuesday, yes.
Believable. Yeah.
Right. All of these things. I'm not saying he's a great dude. He did not hit anyone. I promise you he did not hit anyone.
But don't you think that you know me better, and you would know, you'd have a better idea of what I'm like than my mom would, like in a relationship. You don't tell your parents everything that's going on in your relationship, at least most people don't.
Sure.
I feel like a friend who you're around all the
well,
time.
I'm just observing your mother probably.
Me.
I bet your mother would be shocked if you hit someone.
Of course. But I'm just saying that.
She would be so shocked if one of your other brothers hit someone.
She might also be shocked about things that you would not be shocked about. That's all I'm saying. Like,
okay.
Not my boy. Because you know more about me. I don't know. It happens all the time where these parents are like, it can't be possible because I know that my kid wouldn't do that. And I think, well, of course you don't think your kid would do that. You don't want your kid to do that. But yeah, so a day after the arrest of these people in connection with the disappearance of the missing women, Jillian Kelly, 39, and 27-year-old Veronica Butler, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation has announced the recovery of two bodies that they are working to identify. And just like all these other states, you know, Oklahoma has their Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation. Michigan has the Michigan State Police.
Sure.
Missouri, man, we don't get that. We just get the Highway Patrol. That's all we've got. Our state cops are Highway Patrol. They need a better name than that. Every state has, like, you got KBI in Kansas, right? I think you do.
I don't know.
Yeah, doesn't Kansas have KBI? I'm pretty sure Kansas.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, KBI. A lot of states have their Bureau of Investigation, or they have
the Georgia
police. And in Michigan, those state police have their own cool cars. And it's, Highway Patrol, to me,
it implies that
you're giving speeding
Missouri
tickets.
Highway Patrol the same thing?
Yeah, but doesn't Highway Patrol sound like you're giving away... You know, tickets?
It sounds like Chips.
Like you're doing speed traps? And I guess I'm not old enough to have watched Chips, so I don't know what all they
California
did.
California Highway Patrol.
Yeah, I don't know what all they did. I'm sure they solved a lot of crimes and did all that.
I don't remember.
If there's a murder that they think people traveled through different counties in Missouri, then I guess it becomes the Highway Patrol's job.
Yeah, I think in my head, they're just state cops.
They are. So why can't they call the Missouri State Police? That sounds better. Doesn't it sound cooler? The Missouri State Police than the Highway Patrol? Look, nothing against Highway Patrol. I mean, I love the hats. I get it. It's a respectable job. But I just... It doesn't sound like, don't worry, the Highway Patrol's here. You know?
Right. No, you're right. It sounds like a parking lady.
Yes, that sounds like traffic-related things. I don't know. So Trump's hush money trial is beginning.
You're right. Because like if there's a homicide...
And 10 people
and there's local cops, and then you see somebody come and be like, hey, State police is here. They've got it now.
Exactly.
Right. The highway patrol's here. They got
KBI
it now.
You're like, what? KBI is here. Right. But then when you're like, wait for the highway patrol. I'm waiting for the highway patrol. There's seven people dead here. Yeah, this is definitely a highway patrol job.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Right.
Michigan State Police, you're like, oh, right. State cops are here. State cop, that's what people say.
Right,
you know.
Sure.
State cop. And then if you got a Bureau of Investigation, you get your acronym, like KBI, yeah. GBI, whatever. I don't know. I just think they could work on that. The Trump hush money trial has begun or is beginning. They're going through jury selection. So I thought this thing wasn't over yet, but that Stormy documentary made it seem like all of the stuff involving Stormy was done and that basically she lost, so to speak. You know, she went through a lot of hard times. Her relationship failed, all of these things.
Right.
And that it didn't. Trump didn't get held accountable for it. That's how that documentary ends. But there is, in real life, still story left to tell because they got to go through this hush money trial. Now, Laszlo and I have said in the past, and Laszlo's the one who pointed this out, and I'm sorry, but it's ironclad. Now, I don't care how much you hate Trump.
No.
If you're saying that you spent this money inappropriately because you used campaign money to pay off a porn star, as they keep
that's what I was doing campaign money
that
for.
You slept with. That to me sounds like an appropriate use of campaign money.
Right.
I mean, appropriate, you know, but does it help him get elected?
Yes, that's what it's for.
Does her talking about this hurt his chances?
Inappropriate use would be to pay Stormy to have sex with you.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
That doesn't help you get elected.
Yes.
But to
buy
pay
video
Stormy
games or, yeah.
To not talk about
not
me
talk
having,
about
sex, having sex with you, that feels like we need this.
The reason I don't want you to talk about it is because I think it'll hurt my chances
right.
at winning an election. So that to me, I don't know. I mean, I'm no lawyer. I don't know how campaign money works. I don't know how hush money and all that stuff, NDAs. But it seems like that's something you should be able to use hush money for, or I mean campaign money for. Now, remember, the big deal with this is that Michael Cohen was one who supposedly orchestrated all those payments and put together the NDAs and all that. And he later confessed that he did that. Now he will testify against
former
his old
president,
boss.
President Donald Trump, set to arrive at any moment at a New York City courthouse. Jury selection up first. Over the next few days, 12 jurors and 6 alternates have to be selected to hear the case. He faces 34 counts of falsifying business records. These are related to hush money payments made in 2016 in the closing weeks of the campaign to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Those payments took place through his then attorney, Michael Cohen, who has since pleaded guilty and will testify in this matter.
Okay, so you hear that 34 count indictment charging him with falsifying business records in connection with a hush money payment his then attorney Michael Cohen made to Daniels in order to boost his electoral prospects in the 2016 election. Okay, so even if Cohen is like, yes, I did this, and even if the jury believes, Cohen is the one who wrote up this paperwork, got her signed NDA, made sure that she got the money. Now you can say morally, I don't like this guy. Morally, he lied about it. Whatever.
Well, if it is illegal, then it's illegal. I just don't think it should be.
Right, but where is it illegal? Why is it illegal? Because people kept saying when we asked about it that, well, it's because you can't spend money that way. It's regulated how you spend that money.
Why?
And yeah, but you can buy clothes and things like that as long as you're using them on the campaign trail.
Like they made fun
pretty loose with
the hockey
Sarah Palin,
spent so much on clothes.
That red leather jacket, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever it was. And they said, no, you can spend that money. I think she also said that she returned that stuff. Was that part of that story?
I think she also bought her kids' clothes.
Maybe that was part of it. What happened to her? Where is she? Like, is she in Alaska? Did she have a talk show? I felt like she was going to at least be one of these people who was on TV.
She kind of disappeared. You're right.
But I haven't seen or heard from her in a while. I thought people really liked her. And she definitely appeared on those shows. Remember, she made fun of herself on SNL. I thought, this woman's going to stick around as some sort of celebrity. But last thing I saw about her was a documentary about her family, and that was at least 4, maybe 5 years ago. I know there were some problems that some of the kids were maybe getting in a little bit of trouble. Wasn't there some of that? I don't remember all the details.
After stepping down as governor of Alaska in 2009, Palin announced that she was running for Congress in 2022 to fulfill Alaska's U.S. House seat after the death of Don Young. She lost to Democrat Mary Peltola. Then she ran for the position a second time in November, where was again defeated by...
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Peltola, so...
I guess it is. So, I guess she's just sitting at home. Where was she from? Wasilla?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound right? Wasilla, Alaska? How many kids did she have? She had grandkids. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't have like a bunch of kids.
No, she had like 3 or 4, I want to say.
Weren't their names like Trip and
I'm looking at
Trig,
her Instagram now.
Trip, Trig.
Track.
Trig, Track. I don't think Trig would be
the daughter.
She's still kind of hot.
Well, sure, I would expect so. I mean, it hasn't been that long. I'm just surprised that she doesn't have her own show on Fox. Maybe she does. Maybe she's a
she was on The Masked Singer.
Oh, maybe I remember that a little bit, too. Because who was the other person that was on the season? Yeah, well, I think we talked about that. We may have talked about her being on The Masked Singer. But that was a long time ago, wasn't it? I don't know. Look, if she's not busy, so go get her on the podcast.
Okay.
Sounds like she's not doing anything. Call up there. It's such a small town. I'll bet you can just find her phone
number. Three daughters, Bristol, Willow, and Piper.
Bristol. And then what? One grandkid? Couple grandkids?
I think, who was it? Bristol had the kid.
Okay.
And her son is Trek.
Trek. Okay, there you go. Yeah, get her on the show, Snowcone.
I'm on it.
It's the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Fill that up. Yeah, not me, yeah. The cup.
No, I got you. We're going to finish doom scrolling here in just a little bit. Got to tell you about people still coming after OJ, even though he's dead. They just can't leave the guy alone.
Give the guy some slack.
Also, Coachella was this weekend. Yeah, did you ever go to Coachella? I never did.
No.
Snowcone seems like the kind of guy who could have driven a van to Coachella and
never been.
If any of the three of us would have gone, it would have been
sounds
Snowcone
too long and hot.
I definitely wanted to at times.
Too long and hot.
Daft Punk.
I know Snowcone really liked the Coachella Tupac performance, as did I.
I did.
The holographic Tupac. I don't know if it gets... I mean, after that, maybe you just say, we're done. You know? We don't need to do Coachella anymore.
No Doubt was there this year.
This year was No Doubt. Lana Del Rey.
They look good.
I heard people complain about Lana Del Rey, but I don't know what they want.
Oh, well.
It's set to what kind of...
But that's her.
I know.
She's a crooner.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like, what are you doing? What they're you like, oh, she was boring. It's like, that's what she does.
Yeah.
That's what I think about Billie Eilish, too. Like, you can't get hype at a Billie Eilish show.
And I get it. I get it. You know, you're right. But even more so, Lana Del Rey.
But Lana
right?
is like the 50s
I'm like,
starlet.
Lana Del Rey is like...
The starlet, the crooner.
Right, the 2024 version of Frank Sinatra, right? Mm-hmm. Like... Mm-hmm. I don't get what you would think you were going to get in that show besides her moving slowly and singing into a microphone.
And wearing a gown.
Dressed
probably.
Up. Yeah,
like,
I imagine
like you're not
going to
get pyrotechnics.
No, not going to get dance moves. It's not a Taylor Swift show.
No, it wouldn't fit.
No.
But she did have a surprise guest, which is,
I thought
that's
they
something.
All did.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprise guests.
No Doubt brought out Olivia Rodrigo.
One person didn't have such a great weekend.
Who?
And that would be Elon's ex.
No,
Grimes.
Right. I love Grimes.
I don't know. There seemed to be some problems. I don't know if Elon was trying to sabotage her or what, but it sounded like she wasn't having a great... It sounded like just listening to it, watching it, it looked like... It seemed fine. I mean, I don't know. I've never been
Everything
to a Grimes
I saw
show, but...
was that people were saying the first half of her set was,
I like
was totally fine. And then it just all went downhill, and she just kept stopping.
But it seems like she was the one who kept apologizing.
So the edit I found earlier, it was 6 full minutes of her stopping songs and saying... Guys, I'm sorry. This is messing up, and my track's at double
speed. When I'm not sure that
speed.
The crowd is noticing that
Everyone
there's an issue.
You got to move on,
right?
Man. It's rock and roll.
Right.
Even if you're Grimes or Lana Del Rey, if it's not, like, just move on.
That's not hyperbolic. It's literally 6 minutes of her stopping songs and saying, hey, I'm sorry.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you got to move on.
Do you have the audio I pulled?
Yeah, we'll play it coming up. And also, I know you guys, we were all watching last night, Billy Joel. I mean, network television, what a night to be a Billy Joel fan. How great was that?
He was at Coachella?
Did it bring a tear to your eye? No. He was on TV. He was on CBS.
Doing what?
His concert.
Concert from where?
Where else does Billy Joel do a concert that gets televised?
Brooklyn?
You're telling me you didn't watch Billy Joel? I know you don't have cable anymore. You're flipping through the networks. You don't see that Billy Joel's
singing? I don't know how to turn on the networks. I'm thinking about getting that cable back. I finally got
How
home.
How long have you lasted without cable?
3 days.
3 days, okay.
I went home last night, I started turning on TV, and it wasn't that I wanted anything to watch, but I'm like, how do you turn on just mindless nothing behind you? I'm like, well, I got to go to Peacock and turn on Murder Mystery Thing and just let it roll, or, Top Chef or something. I have to pick one of these shows where, you know, I don't know that it's worth it or not.
You
I
just
haven't
need
given
to
it
flip
yet.
To over-the-air TV, and then there's, I always leave it on, like, whatever their Nick at Night thing is called, over-the-air. It's just reruns. Reruns of old sitcoms from the 70s and 80s. That's good background noise TV. Or you can turn on network TV. There's always sports or something stupid on. There's always something on.
I'm close. We'll see what happens tonight.
Well, what are you planning on doing? I mean, there's things. There's got to be something at some point that you'd want to watch over the air. You're planning on getting cable back?
Well, I came home last night, and there was no baseball games on.
Yeah.
They were all finished. So I was like, ugh. So I just, you know, then I just went to turn on YouTube TV, and it was like, do you want to restart your TV subscription? I was like, well, no, not yet. Oh, I haven't. I didn't even know it was off yet.
Boy, you got to go at least a week, right?
Well, then I went to Peacock and turned on some, you know, I don't know, the mother-in-law did it thing, and hit play.
Yeah, see? You're falling into a rhythm there. But, of course, last night of all the nights, that's when you missed Billy Joel. Shame. That's okay.
What was he on?
He was on CBS.
What was he doing?
His concert.
From where?
Madison Square Garden.
It was on TV?
Yes. And CBS has apologized because they said they should have showed more of it. No, they wish they'd showed more of it. Now they're going to. They literally said, we're sorry, we should have showed more of it, and we promise we will show more of it later.
How much did they show of it?
Well, they just cut off the end a little bit. So people were very upset.
How long was it on?
I don't use. I'm not like a call and complain kind of guy. But I was on the phone. It was a 90-minute special.
Billy Joel live from Madison Square Garden
with friends.
Who are his friends?
Well, I'll tell you, Lazo. I'll tell you.
It's the Church of Lazo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. We're finishing the news, my man.
Do it.
Well, this is such a crazy story, sad story. It involves people pranking an old man on the phone, and it ends with someone getting killed.
What?
Yeah, you guys see this? It's in Ohio. This old man, he's like 81 years old. Huh? He starts getting these scam calls, which I've heard of this call before, where scammers say, hey, you've got a relative who's in jail right now. They're in trouble.
Oh, right. I've heard it. Yeah.
Yeah, and they need bail money. You need to bail them out. Sometimes they'll pretend to be the relative. In this case, the person was pretending to be a cop, from what I read, saying, hey, this person needs bail money. These are serious charges. As the calls progress, though, it sounds like this old man maybe was, you know, skeptical or hung up, or maybe he just didn't have the money or want to give the money. The caller goes from saying you need this bail money to basically I'm holding your loved one hostage and you better pay up. And I'm going to send someone to pick up this money. You better have the money ready. Then that same scammer or an associate of that scammer, we don't know yet, orders an Uber and sends an Uber to this guy's house to pick up the money. A 61-year-old woman is driving that Uber, and she arrives at the house. I didn't know you could send Uber to pick stuff up. Maybe the story is really not very clear, so I'm wondering if the scammer sent them there like thinking that they were going to pick up a ride, or if you can give them instructions to say pick this thing up. I know you can do that with like DoorDash and those things, right? Can't you have them pick stuff up, or Uber Eats?
I have no idea.
Uber Eats advertises. They have commercials with Jennifer Aniston where people are picking up stuff for her along the way, right? I think that's Uber Eats.
How would that guy get paid?
Who are they going to take the money to? Right. If this guy had a box of money, who are they going to take the money to? I don't know, because we didn't get that far.
Uber would have a register of where they took the money. Right. So when the guy finds out.
Right. I mean, I guess they would have to take it to some like empty house where they're hiding out and then take the money and then leave and they hope that the cops don't catch up with them. So the Uber driver shows up. Now, she has a dash cam, and there's dash cam that's out there. The police haven't released all of it. At least not that I've seen, but you can see the old man, the 81-year-old, come out into the driveway, and he's armed. He's got a handgun. And you see the driver. She's like, you know, I'm ready to get the hell out of here, right? I mean, she looks, she's only 61, but she doesn't look young. She looks like maybe she's having a kind of hard time getting around. You feel bad for her.
Right.
She's like, I need to get out of here. He's thinking that she's one of these scammers. He's thinking that she's either the person who's been calling or at least a member of this team of people that have been calling him. So she wants to
leave. At this point, does he believe they have his grandson hostage?
Not clear. The story doesn't say at all what he.
I mean, I guess if he went out there, maybe he does believe it.
Or
now he thinks this person has his grand.
Or he just at least believes that these people have been scamming him.
Okay.
Either one, he's mad. He's mad at these people, and he thinks that she's part of it. So she tries to leave. She's like, I'm going to get the hell out of here. He grabs her phone, and he doesn't want her to leave. and they start to tussle. This is where the video for like the network news cuts out. But it sounds like the police have described what you can hear happening or maybe even see happening in the video after that, which is they start to fight. She's trying to get away. He shoots her. She continues to fight. At some point, he shoots her a second time. She continues, it sounds like at this point, to struggle or to fight her. She's trying to get away. He eventually shoots her a third time. After he shoots her the third time, the police show up. And or he calls the police and says, hey, this is what's going on. Someone's been calling me,
right,
and gives them the whole story. And when they get there, they find this Uber driver with three gunshots and take her to the hospital.
Authorities say William Brock had been receiving multiple threatening scam calls the morning of March 25th. The calls were concerning an incarcerated relative, and Brock was told to meet at the courthouse to pay a ransom of $12,000 in bail money, or they would kill him and his relative. Around the same time of the call, Lolitha Hall received directions from the same person or an accomplice, instructing her to go to Brock's home to pick up a package for delivery. Dashcam video from Hall's car shows her arrive to Brock's home to pick up that package. Brock allegedly had a gun. The incident report says Brock allegedly took Hall's phone and wouldn't let her leave, and when she tried to go, authorities say Brock then shot Hall. They started fighting, and he shot her two more times. Authorities received a call from Brock saying he had shot someone on his property because they were trying to rob him.
Okay, so now in that story, it sounds like, okay, I thought when I heard that story the first time that maybe he did have a loved one who was in jail.
Okay.
And that he knew that. But I found some of their stories, and the police have spoken since then and said the whole thing about, he actually, the caller started off saying you need bail money.
Right.
By the end of the call, they're saying, no, I've got your loved one held hostage. So they fly this woman to the hospital, or drive her to the hospital. For some reason, I was thinking that she flew, but she gets to the hospital. She dies at the hospital. And now this old man is facing charges for shooting and killing her. I mean, you know, as he should. I get it. I totally get it. But God, you also just think, if you have elderly loved ones, maybe take the guns away from them. I don't know. But also make sure that they're aware of some of these common scams that are going on, and just ignore those text
and
messages.
You can't get inside his head, but if he thought this woman was part of a group that had his grandson held hostage.
Yeah. And to top it off, by the way, she's black, he's white.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes a difference, if that'll become part of the story later or not, but in the video you can tell that. And, you know, they're saying that he allegedly had a gun. I mean, I can see in the video that he's holding a gun. Now, they did say, one of the police reports said that when they showed up that he had an injury and he was bleeding from his head. So it does sound like they were
fighting,
which, yeah, I'd be fighting too to get the hell out of there, right? But he wouldn't let her leave, and he ends up shooting and killing her. How crazy
is that? What did Uber say about
it? So Uber put out a statement saying, we are sick, our hearts are with the family of this Uber driver, and we have suspended the account that was used to send the
Do they know
Uber.
Who it is?
It just says that we're working with police.
Okay.
So that's, you know, the rest of it, I guess, remains to be seen whether or not they'll be able to catch this person or these people. But I'm with you. I'm very curious, if this had gone to plan for this person, where were they going to have this money sent? And also, they thought this guy was what, going to get a box of cash? The story does not give a lot of details. I'm curious about what was said on that phone call. Did they know that this guy had access to valuables or to cash? Because why would they think this 81-year-old man could get $12,000 in... Right. Why did they choose him? Why did they think that he could get 12 grand? I need more information than these little sparse stories that we're getting. But he's in trouble. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you're on the jury for this old guy...
Well, it's not murder.
It's not first-degree murder, right? It's not. I mean, I don't...
I mean, she didn't do anything wrong, which makes you're like, damn.
Right.
The person who's doing the scam gets in a lot of trouble.
If they can find that person, they should be in a lot of trouble, for sure.
And the old guy's in trouble, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, there's got to be some sort of gray area where you're like, the guy was getting scammed.
Right.
She was getting scammed. If the scammer wasn't doing the scam, this doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. They're the ones who are ultimately...
And the law makes use for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if there's an accident and you're driving on a suspended license, it's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why?
And a lot of
because if you weren't there, if you weren't driving on a suspended license, your car wouldn't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of states say if you're involved in part of a crime, they don't make any, they don't distinguish between which part of the crime. If you were part of it and you were willing to see it through, now some states don't do that. Some states will distinguish. But for a lot of states, they'll say, no, if you were in it, you know, for the long haul, then it doesn't matter where you participated from, what your level of participation was, it's all the same. I don't know what it is in Ohio, but I was kind of thinking
but
that
it is like, you know, and I get it, you know, on the Twitch, they say, you know, the punishment for scamming someone is not the murder of an innocent person. No, but if you're in the commission of a crime and someone gets murdered,
that's
you know, the punishment for burglary isn't murder.
Right.
But if someone dies while you're there and you're doing it, I mean, it's murder now.
Right. And it might not be first degree, right? Like you said, if someone has a heart attack when I break into the home, I didn't even know that someone was home.
You can get charged for that.
Absolutely. Now, I don't think they're going to say, no prosecutor's going to try and go down the road saying, oh, it's first degree. You know, they intended to kill this person and, you know, they had a chance to stop and didn't. No, it's not. That's not what it is. But you're committing a crime. And in the commission of that crime, someone died. I think that you know, based on what I've seen on TV.
And that to me sucks. Like, I get it. Now, I was just trying to scam an old guy out of $12,000. Give me the punishment for that. It's like, yeah, that's the same thing with drag racing.
Right, exactly.
You got caught going 180 miles an hour. That's a big deal.
Yep.
You're in trouble. But the guy you were racing lost control of his car
and hit someone
and killed four people. He's in more trouble. You guys both did the same thing, but the results are different. So the guy who scammed someone out of $12,000 and got caught, his punishment is less than the guy who scammed someone out of $12,000 and someone died because of it. It's
because
just the way it goes.
Any jury would agree that this death does not happen if not for the scam call.
Right.
There's just no way. There's
and there's a
no
whole name for that,
person.
A whole philosophical theory.
Well, oh, and I forgot to tell you a great
about how
this.
Life happens like that.
Oh, the butterfly effect. Ashton
No. It's there's a mathematical thing that's like, you know, if you're both doing the same thing, but one of the outcomes is different, then you know your situation becomes different, even though you both did the same thing.
I forgot to say one of the
so, like, obviously, if you're, if you and your buddy are both drunk and you drive home drunk, you had the same amount of drinks, and one of you got in an accident and one of you didn't, DUI with accidents is worse than DUI.
Yep.
It's just the way it goes.
Yep. When the cops got to this guy's house, I forgot to tell you this part, the old man's landline kept ringing. And so one of the police officers picked it up. And when he answered, the guy on the other end of the phone said he was a cop. And so the cop listens to this guy and plays along, it sounds like, plays along, like, oh, okay, you know, officer so-and-so, and asked to meet up. Like, yeah, you know, let's meet up. And so they went to meet this guy. Nobody showed up. But isn't that crazy? He was calling, and a cop answered the phone. So, you know, I'm sure at that point, no part of that scammer is thinking that someone died because of this.
Right.
He's calling the house like, what's going on? Did you get the money?
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the old guy doesn't get in trouble. He gets in a lot of trouble. He just
this was not a reasonable defense.
No.
But
it's just like, it's not like if he went out there and just shot her.
Right. If he planned to kill someone and went out and killed someone, that's
or he got
totally
angry
different.
At her and shot her. There's, you know, some extenuating circumstances here.
Yes.
You're still going to jail for a long time, man.
Yeah.
But
they say he was originally arraigned on a murder charge in the municipal court of Clark County. Posted a $200,000 bond. If convicted of that charge, he could be sentenced to 15 years to life or a $15,000 fine. So, you know, I don't know what the likelihood is that I'll ever find an update on this story for you and figure out what happened to him. But if I see one, I will try, and hopefully you guys will remember it. I do have an update for you, though, on a story.
No, I'm with you. Crackman makes a good point. He says, I'm saying old dude isn't justified for killing someone who wanted to leave just because he thought she may have been scamming him. No,
he's in
absolutely.
Trouble.
I'm in
trouble.
I agree with you on all of that. He's in a lot of trouble. She was trying to leave.
Yep.
But it's like, you know,
just like you can't shoot someone and kill them because they stole your car and they're driving away.
No, you can't shoot through the window. He's in that kind
of
trouble. Whatever that is,
that's
what he's in. But it's not like, you know, he went down there and confronted her over something. You know, there's extenuating circumstances here.
It's an unreasonable use force, you know,
of
and self-defense force.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know if that's murder, too.
Right. But it's not first degree.
Right. It's not, the chair.
No. Exactly. It's not right. First degree murder. I don't. If I'm a juror, I am not convicting that guy of first degree murder. That would be ridiculous. And honestly, but now when he shoots, I know a lawyer could say, well, he shot and then he had a chance to call the cops and then he shot again.
And I agree with that.
And then he shot a third time. Absolutely. That's going to hurt him even more.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, he should go to jail for 20 years. He's going to die in there.
Yeah. Still not the same as first degree murder. Now, remember the Rust movie set? You guys remember that whole drama with the... What was she called? Armorer, right?
Armorer, yeah.
The Armorer. Now, remember, there was it went back and forth about who was going to be in trouble for the death.
No, the other thing about that, just real quick, when we talk about that, we're never going to be able to get inside his head what he would say, because a lawyer now can talk to him, and he could be like, I thought these people had my grandson.
Right.
I wasn't going to let her leave.
And he might have thought that.
Right. And he might be like, I let her leave, they're going to go kill my grandson.
Right. But they'd still say, even if you knew they had your grandson, you're not allowed to kill him.
It makes it different then.
It does. Exactly.
Right? Like if I thought somebody had my kid,
yeah,
and they told me they had my kid, and then they came up to get money, they're not leaving.
I assume that that's what's happening here. I don't know the answer.
Either.
I don't think that this guy probably knew he was being scammed, or else he would have called the cops sooner or at least stopped answering the phone. So I think that he must have believed this on some level. He must have believed that this loved one was in danger. I think he probably believed that. For him to get the gun and do all that, if he thought he was being scammed and someone was trying to get money out of him, then I think he would have called the cops. I don't think he holds someone up with a pistol. I also think that he doesn't necessarily assume that that person who showed up at his house is part of that group if he thought he was being scammed.
I would.
I'm saying if he thought he was getting scammed.
If an Uber driver shows up,
he's 81.
My brain tells me he's 81. Exactly. Doesn't think he's getting scammed. No. He thinks something's going on.
I think he thought his loved one was probably in harm's way. So Hannah Gutierrez Reed, did I get that right? She was the armor on the set of Rust. Now, Lazo, you've been in jail before. You know how this works, but it amazes me to this day that so many people don't understand this. When you're in jail, especially when you're awaiting trial, or especially when you have a new hearing coming up, maybe you've been in prison for a while and you got a probation hearing, some sort of appeal, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Whatever the case is, when you're in jail and you're on the phone, just assume that everything you're saying is being listened to by a prosecutor or a judge.
They tell you.
They tell you right there on the phone.
On the
These
phone,
calls
it says
are being recorded and may be listened to. Yes.
Right. It tells you.
And so many people act like they're probably not going to listen to all
of
this.
No, they will.
They're probably not going to listen to all of this.
They'll listen to all of them.
It's crazy. And sometimes, I've seen things where they're like, where they didn't. And because of something that happened, they go back and let's go back and listen to those old phone calls. And they go back and find stuff.
I think sometimes they don't listen if it goes to trial and it goes their way.
Yeah.
But they start to be like, hey, what's going on?
If you're waiting on a sentencing or something.
The prosecutor is listening to all those calls as they're putting together a case.
They
may not listen if you're in jail.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
Right.
They're not listening to that. But if you're waiting to go to court, I promise you they're listening to all of those.
And waiting, sentencing.
They're listening to all of them.
I would think that a teenager would know this, especially because they do tell you right there on the phone every single time you pick it up.
If it's me in jail and I've already been sentenced.
Yeah,
and I've got 300 days left, and I'm like, this place sucks. I'd like to kick this guard's ass.
Right.
I'm not really worried about them listening to that.
No.
Right? Because they're probably not listening to it because there's nothing to do.
Exactly.
But if I'm awaiting sentencing or I'm awaiting a jury's verdict or trial, the prosecutor is listening to all of them.
Yes.
All of them, I promise you.
Yes. And Hannah Gutierrez Reed learned that the hard way instead of just listening to that little memo at the beginning of each phone call. Because apparently she got on the phone and started complaining about her situation. She was found guilty and she was awaiting sentencing. Now she faced a maximum of 18 months in prison. And boy, oh boy, when I saw this today, so she's in front of the judge for sentencing, and the judge, everyone does
their
finales.
He's got the call?
It's a she, and the prosecutor had the calls, yes. They already had the calls. I think that she had been made aware that this information had come out.
They had to tell the defense attorney.
Yeah, we've got these calls. So now the defense, what they're asking for is, hey, you know, time served. She's been in there like a month or two while she's been awaiting sentencing and going through the trial, all that stuff. We want her to have, you know, suspended probation, basically. Give her probation, and that'll be it. That's option one. And the judge is going through these. These are the different options. Option two is that I give you 1 year, because that's the maximum that you can stay in the jail without having to be transferred to a prison. If I give you option two, you would still be a felon, and you would not be able to have a gun federally and in the state of whatever. Then there's option three, which is the max sentence, which is 18 months in prison. So
would go to a prison.
Yeah, prison. So
you'll hear like a lot of guys ask to get sentenced.
They want to go to prison.
For 366. Give me 366 where I can get out of this goddamn county jail.
Right. Because everyone says county jail is so much worse. So
you're not any more fear, but you just don't get out of
the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks.
A lot of times even more overcrowded than the prisons. So the judge is going through all this, and I'm just imagining, as Hannah sitting there listening to this judge, what must be going through her mind. I've been in front of judges before, very nervous about what they're about to say. And of course, never facing 18 months in prison for something like this. But then the judge, after she talks about the three options, then she starts talking about the phone calls. And she's like, you know, let's talk about some of the things that Hannah said in these phone calls and how she feels.
Well, in her own words, most recently, she didn't need to be shaking the dummies all the time. Did she check after that? No.
Okay, so the dummies are the dummy rounds. And in the phone calls, apparently she had told someone, look, you know, I don't need to check the dummies every single time. Well, yeah, you probably should. It's a bullet, right? And she's acting like, you know, I checked them once. I don't need to check them each time I put them in the gun.
And while you've heard her concerns about how she'll never work again as an armorer leading up to the trial, have her concerns changed? No. Here's what she says. This whole thing has been a character attack on her. Just recently, in her allocution, I'm not a monster. And what does she say about the death of Helena? Hannah is dismissive of the judge talking about someone dying as a result of her act. Hannah says she's looking at 13 months, which is ridiculous over what happened. Hannah says that people have accidents and people die. It's an unfortunate part of life, but it doesn't mean she should be in jail. A conditional discharge is not appropriate.
A conditional discharge is not appropriate. That's her saying what the defense is requesting, not appropriate. And then she goes on to say,
you make some decent points, but you just don't want to say it.
So there was more, too. She also
said, an accident. Like, people do die in accidents. Well, you know, it was an accident. I get it.
She also said somewhere in there that this is, if she goes to jail, it's going to get in the way of her modeling career. I didn't know that she was a model. This is the first time hearing of this. But so there was some other stuff in those calls. So as you can probably guess, the judge gave her the max sentence. She gave her 18 months. And it's just weird because whenever we do these stories and it says, you know, person is in trouble, person faces this much time. Whenever they do that, person is facing up to this, I always think they're never going to get that, though, because they never do. It's ridiculous. You have to really screw up to get the max. She got the max. She got 18 months in prison. That's a serious, look, somebody died. You know, I mean, and she was found guilty. And as the judge pointed out, jurors had an opportunity to learn all the details of what happened on that set. And they decided that she was negligent, and that she was reckless, and that she did cause this death. So that it wasn't Alec Baldwin that caused the death, that it wasn't someone else, that it was her who caused the death. The judge made a point to say all that. And she says, and then how does Hannah respond to this? Like, it's ridiculous. You know, it's going to take a bunch of time. It's going to get in the way of my modeling career. I mean, look, people die, okay? Right. Saying people die is not a great thing to say on the prison phone there.
Even if you think it, which is, it is true.
People die in accident. I mean, I should have to go to jail.
What you don't want is that to be playing in court when someone's dead because of your negligence.
Right. Do people die by getting shot by bullets? Sure, but usually it's because someone shot them. Or someone put a bullet in a gun that wasn't supposed to be there. So, just don't talk on those phones unless it's something you want the prosecutor to hear. For crying out loud.
Right, talk on them.
You can talk on them. Be nice. Say nice things. I feel terrible about this whole thing.
Right.
That's when you really play it up.
She was my friend. I can't believe they think I would do this.
I don't care if they give me no time or 100 years. I have to live in this prison the rest of my life.
Right.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I loved her.
Yeah.
We were having fun. We were making movies.
Right.
I didn't get into movies to kill someone.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Not, my modeling career. Ugh. Ugh.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
What's going on?
Nothing. I guess we ran a little late today. Ran out of time.
I almost got into a fight today.
With who?
Some road rage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No.
I was sitting at a light.
Was it an old man?
It was.
Of course.
He got out of his car.
Of course. You made an old man get out of his car.
Well, I don't know how old he was. He was, you know, he wasn't old old.
Okay.
He was full gray with a goatee.
Okay.
Wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Okay. So he wasn't super old.
Was he old enough to have a grandson in college? Yes.
No, but who isn't?
Yes. Okay.
Who isn't? Right. Depending on the... I'd say he was in his late 50s, early 60s.
Okay. So not 70s.
No.
Okay. So what happened?
I'm waiting at the light. I have my, you know, 103rd, if anybody's been around there, 103rd in Antioch. It's all torn up.
Yeah, I was just over there.
And you can't get through. And you have to merge into one lane. So, like you guys tell me all the time, I turn on my signal and merge over and get in the... You know, waiting for the light to turn green. Yeah. But it's going both ways and everything, and the signal's still on. There's no left turn there anymore. You just have to go straight. But my signal's still on. But the light hasn't turned green or anything. I haven't really thought about it. It's just on because I merged, and I didn't turn my wheel enough back for it to turn off, right?
Okay.
And I just hear beeping behind me. Beep, beep. And I'm like, I look in my rear and turn around. The guy behind me, I'm like, I do this to him. And he's like, I'm like, what? And I hear more beeping. I'm like, well, it's not the guy behind me, or else, you know, he would have given me, right?
Okay.
So I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, I look over. There's this guy, and he's over, and he's just punching the no left turn sign. He's like, there's no left turn.
He's gotten out of his car?
Left turn. Yeah, he's walked three cars up to bang at me and tell me there's no left turn. You see what I'm saying? So he thought I was holding up the light.
Wow. This is crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So I'm like, so I roll on the window, and I'm just like, I was pissed. I was like, I just started screaming at him. Like, I will get out of this car and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, there's no left turn. And I was like, and I was really, really mad. And I'm like, the light hasn't turned green. Whether I'm making a left or not doesn't matter. It's not green. And then he punched it and threw the sign down and got back in his car. Finally, I was about to get out of my car to go kick his door in. I'm honest.
You're positive you didn't sit through a cycle of the light?
No, I'm positive.
Okay.
So then I was about to, but then the light turned green.
Yeah.
Therefore, by the grace of God, go I.
Yeah.
And it turned green, so I just drove, but I was waiting for him, because I'm like, this guy can't turn left. He's going to be behind me, and when we get to this light, I'm going to kick his ass. He made a right-hand turn.
Of course. Of course.
So there you go.
The last time I got in a
road, I actually made a right to see if I could catch him, but the road didn't go through, so.
Oh, you were fooling. You already chased
him. Oh, I would have chased him. I was that mad.
Last time I got in road rage was exact same thing, except I was the person who got out of my car. But the woman...
Really?
There was construction being done. There's always construction being done by my house, and there's no left turn onto 75th Street from Warnell. This car had sat through three cycles of lights.
Right.
She's trying to make a left turn.
Right.
And no one can go. And not only that, it's like, not only you're not supposed to do this, but at least when the light turns yellow or red, then go. Because you've been sitting here forever. She just sits there in this Prius, just sitting there and sitting there. So no one's doing anything. People are honking, but no one's doing anything. So finally, I was like, I was already in a bad mood. I was actually, the reason I was on this path was because I had... been coming home from work, and when I went to go home, there was no way to get down my street. My street was blocked, so I was angry. I was going to cool off by going to the library and sitting in the quiet room for a little while. And that's where I was trying to get, and now I'm stuck behind this line of traffic. So I finally got out of my car.
And what'd you do?
I walked up to the car, and I could see the driver. I should not have done what I did.
What'd you do?
I banged on her window.
Oh, I would have gotten out and kicked your ass.
I said, there is no left turn, and if you are going to make a left turn, then just go. But she wouldn't look at me. I frightened her. She was...
Was an old lady?
She was looking... No, she was just like a regular lady. I don't know, but she was looking down. She looked like she'd be an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
You know? And she's looking down at the street in front of her, and she's got her hands on the wheel like this, and she will not look at me. And I'm going, hey! Hey! And then I'm thinking, like, man, I could get in a lot of trouble for this.
Yeah, why not just go up and go, hey, I don't know... If you know this or not.
I'm so far past that. Because people have been honking at her. Like, get out of the damn way.
Maybe she didn't know. Just go up and go like, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's no left-hand turn. When it turns green, you just got to go straight.
Unless her car is broken down, it doesn't matter because she can make the illegal turn. That's fine by me.
Right.
But you got to at least do it.
Right.
You got to at least do it. I was so angry. I couldn't control it. And then I saw that it was a Prius. And it was not only a Prius. It was one of those extra little Priuses. You know, the really small, little tiny Priuses? And I thought, how tough can this guy be? Right? Little tiny Prius, because I'm not tough. So that's part of why I approached the car. And then, you know, I banged on the window. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But, dude, by the way, she still did not go. We had to move traffic so that we could just go around her. She sat in that intersection, and people just finally found a way to start driving around.
Well, there was no way around me. But the light finally turned green. I just went straight. I was like, what are we doing?
I love it. So, you know, you get in trouble for not using your signal, and then you...
I just had it on.
Use it when you're not supposed to use your signal.
I'm like, well, I couldn't go left anyway, so the light is left to turn green.
Got
to
figure out that signal thing, man. It's getting in a lot of trouble.
Man, I swear to God I was going to kill that guy. I really was going to kill him.
Because, you know, you can turn your signal off manually when you...
I'm being honest. I didn't know it.
I know. I'm kidding.
You know what I mean? So I just kind of merged in that lane, and I was letting the guy behind me know, like, hey, I'm getting over here, even though... I had to get over there, so I don't know why I'm telling him that, but I had to, so I just had it on. I wasn't thinking about it. The guy literally behind me starts pounding, and it's, by the way, it's not just a no left turn, like, at this light where it tells you no left turn. These guys are doing so much construction. There's construction and barrels everywhere, and it's a little tiny sign. So there's no chance I would have seen it anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe just come up and say, no left turn.
Yeah. Hey, man, just so you know, no left turn.
Right.
But the fact that he would get out of his car.
Left anyway. Like,
but the fact that he would get out of his car before the light turned green is really
shocking. I think
shocking.
He might have thought that it turned green because it was taking a while.
Yeah.
I even thought myself, like, man, it's taking a while.
So maybe he had to have thought that you'd sat through a cycle.
Right.
But to
get up and start pounding on the sign next to my car door, I'm like, come on,
I sat through three cycles before I pounded on this lady's window, and I have felt really bad about it. Genuinely, like, I'm a bad person. I felt very bad about it ever since, and that's why I didn't talk much about it. I told Brooke about it when it happened.
And he wasn't that kind of guy, like, you know, it's, you know.
He didn't look like the kind of guy that would start a road rage?
No, he did look like he could be the kind of guy to start a road rage. But I was like, man, you're not a tough guy.
Well, that's...
You know what I mean? Like, you better, seriously get back in your car.
Right. I'm not a tough guy.
I can size him up, and I'm like, man, you're one ass-kicking shy of never doing this again.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, I do believe I'm going to be that guy today.
Right.
Like, in my head, I'm like, we're going to pull over, I'm going to grab one of these bats, and I'm not going to hit you with it, but I'm going to destroy your car in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to bust all your windows... And I'm going to make you get back in the car, and I'm going to emasculate you.
Yeah.
But he made it.
It's like we found the traffic violation that makes the cowardly man and weak man get out of his vehicle and suddenly act enraged and tough. Yeah, it's that left turn when there's no left turn.
Anyway, good show. Guy on 103rd in Antioch is where I was. Stay positive, kids.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.